You're listening to a forum on U.S. foreign policy and the war on terrorism. This is Unwelcome Guests on WEOS Geneva or WXXE Fenner, Syracuse.
Dr. Biallo is a full professor of international relations and national security at the Marine Corps Command and Staff College and former director of the National Security and Strategy Program. He is also an adjunct professor of government at George Mason University, where he teaches international relations and political philosophy. He joined the U.S. Department of State in 1986 as a foreign affairs officer in the Office of the U.S. Coordinator for Counterterrorism. At State, he was responsible for initiating, implementing, and executing U.S. policy in the Middle East, North Africa, and the Eastern Mediterranean, including Turkey, Greece, Malta, and Cyprus. Dr. Biallo worked on numerous national security problems, including the former American and Western hostages in Lebanon. He is the recipient of several U.S. government service awards. Dr. Biallo earned his undergraduate degree from San Diego State University, his master's degree from Tufts University in cooperation with the Fletcher School of International Law and Diplomacy, and his PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. Dr. Biallo has published many book reviews and articles. His latest book was published in 1999 by the Emirates Center for Strategic Studies and Research and is entitled The Strategic Implications of Biological and Chemical Weapons on Gulf Security. Dr. Biallo.
I'm very, very pleased to be here. I want to thank the Greens. I actually didn't know there was a Green Party in the United States, I have to be honest with you, because I teach comparative politics, and I always think of the Green in Europe, you know, in Germany and elsewhere. I suppose I am the breath of fresh air. I'm not going to be coming here to criticize the American policy, or else the State Department would not be sending me out anymore. So I have to somewhat toe the line. It's something I have done literally for almost 20 years now with the United States government. I am in evidence and a true indication that if you come to this country and do the right things and treat people the right way, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. I grew up in Lebanon. I came to this country when I was very young. I didn't want to go to France. I didn't want to go to England. I had gone to school in Lebanon in a Christian missionary school. Essentially, it was a Quaker school. I learned a lot about the concept of the Quaker religion and so on. And I grew up as a Muslim. So, I mean, essentially, I combine different cultures, and I have my foot in different sort of places. But I'm proud to be in this country. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm honored that this country has given me the opportunity to achieve the kinds of things I've achieved. I don't think I would have been able to do it elsewhere. And I don't think I would have been able to do it had I just not left when I did before the Civil War in that country back in the late 60s. I'm going to, again, sort of focus on what the U.S. policy is, and just to get to have, just to lay the foundation for you to sort of try to understand in a way what happened to us on the 11th of September as a nation, and where are we going from here? Is it likely that we will essentially experience a similar kind of tragedy like this in the future? And I think that's really what's on the mind of many Americans, and I travel all across the country and I talk to people about this issue. It isn't just a question of finding answers to why these things would happen to us. And of course, my colleagues, Professor Dunn and Professor Griffith, sort of alluded to some of these issues. I'm not here to sort of criticize anyone, and this is not meant to be a major debate. Although I'm willing to jump into the fray of things if we have to, but the important thing to keep in mind is I will outline to you what the U.S. policy position is. Things did change after the 11th of September. This was a tragic event that had taken place in our country for whatever reason is the cause. I'm not really getting into it. I'm really going to talk about the policy aspect of it. But I'm here to reiterate what Professor Griffith has said. This was a crime, and I'm really glad to hear, despite his sort of reservations about American democracy, that he does consider, in essence, the attacks of the 11th September as a crime. As a crime against humanity, because that's really how the United States and how the State Department policymakers inside the Beltway essentially view it. It is a crime, and it ought to be addressed essentially as a crime. And prior to the 11th of September, the policy was very clear. I worked on the policy for so many years. I'm still working on the policy even to this day, despite the fact I'm no longer walking the halls of the State Department. I'm still doing it indirectly because I'm still doing a lot of work with task forces out there, and I'm very much connected to the counterterrorism office there. prior to the 11th of September, the way we dealt with terrorism basically is we have really adhered to one important concept that Professor Griffith and my colleague on the panel, Dr. Dunn, has sort of alluded to, and that is essentially the rule of law. States cannot, in essence, give up, especially such as the United States, in which we do have a liberal democracy, to really give up on this, on the rule of law. And that's, in essence, how a liberal democracy prides itself on being a liberal democracy. We must never forget, in essence, whatever we are doing right now in the fight against terrorism, we ought to continue to adhere to the rule of law, and that basically, to reiterate the kinds of points that were made before, because there is really a major misunderstanding on this, that the policy hasn't changed very much from before the 11th of September in the sense, ladies and gentlemen, that we will continue to do our best to protect both human and civil rights on one hand and fight terrorism on the other. And that is really the biggest challenge facing us, the United States, today. It's how you go about balancing these wonderful but very challenging, very conflicting sort of goals and objectives with one another. Not a problem for the United States alone. This is a global problem. It's a regional problem. And it's a regional problem because nations, as Professor Dunn has alluded to, act in terms of states. You know, the world works in terms of units of analysis, and units of analysis basically are states. And states sometimes have all kinds of regional and domestic problems with one another. So it's not very easy, for example, to argue that if you look carefully about how you go about perceiving this threat of terrorism, you come very quickly to the conclusion, look at how states behave and treat one another. The Israelis think the Palestinians are the terrorists. The Palestinians think the Israelis are the terrorists. The Indians think essentially the Pakistanis are the terrorists, and the Pakistanis think the Indians are the terrorists. In Russia, of course, the Chechens think the Russian militaries are the terrorists, and of course, if you are in Russia, it's the Chechens, and so on and so on. You can go on and on and on. The question is, you need to have some kind of operational definition for how you're going to about to proceed when really, in a way, your survival is at stake as a nation. The tragedy of the 11th of September, the reason it went beyond, in essence, simply a crime against humanity, it became, in a way, a threat to our national security interests. And this is why the word, the war on terrorism, was concocted. Only because, really, it's a temporary term. Why is that? Because if you look carefully about how we fought terrorism before the 11th of September, we applied all the elements of powers to it. We just did not highlight the militarism that Professor Griffith has alluded to and Dr. Dan and Dunn. The issue, essentially, prior to the 11th of September, we applied all the elements of power. We applied economic sanctions. We applied, essentially, diplomatic pressures. We applied political pressures. We applied psychological pressures, information, and so on and so forth. And the military was really a very small piece of the tapestry. The only thing about the 11th of September and its aftermath is that the military piece was highlighted a little bit more than the others. But the others are still in operation. Don't ever let anybody sort of convince you that, essentially, this is just a war on terrorism that employs only a military solution to it. Because really this problem, and the State Department understands that, the government understands that, there is no really military solution to it. Terrorism is going to continue to evolve. It's as simple as that. And I think my colleagues, if they said anything right on the mark, is that the world is changing in the sense that we do have kinds of problems and issues right now that did not exist as they did under the Cold War. And that is basically what we are confronted with in the world community today. Are ethnic problems, religious problems, national problems that seem to have highlighted the tensions both domestic, on a domestic level, a regional level, and a global level. And that's how you ought to see the world. One of the most wonderful things about the Green, and I remember when I used to lecture about Western Europe, basically is that the Greens have always thought, you know, think globally but act locally. And that's basically why you're here, to think about the fact that foreign policy really is not made in a vacuum. And I have no problems, essentially, with talking about the perversion of American democracy. The issue is, at least that's our political culture. Yes, we really, if there is a need to change it, then that's what makes this wonderful system the way it is. That is, we have the opportunity and the freedom to be able to change it if we really want to do so. And no one is going to stop us from doing so. And that's what makes the beauty of American democracy and, therefore, of American liberalism so unique. But we should never forget that ultimately that this attack on the 11th of September had really no excuse. It has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with ethnic conflicts. It's essentially murder, and it's because of murder you are continue to want to apply the rule of law to bring the culprits, the perpetrators of this act, to justice, whether in this country or elsewhere. And we have always gone on the basis that there is no substitute, really, for the rule of law. And it's very, very important to keep to think about it in these terms. So on one hand, when you think about what has happened to us after the 11th of September, ladies and gentlemen, clearly things have changed only in the way we approach the conflict. And it is a form of a conflict in international relations, no doubt about it. That's what terrorism is. I mean, there are a lot of other issues that also create conflict in international relations. That's basically the spread of weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, radiological weapons, nuclear weapons. Those in the wrong hands, under the wrong circumstances, could also lead to mass destruction and therefore to mass casualties.